for agreeing to talk to him. Marcus is one of our regular contributors, I'm happy to say. Thank you all for coming on this beautiful day, by the way. Such is the pull that people have come in on a beautiful day. I've been looking forward to this very much. I first saw Tatsuo Miyajima's work at the Anthony Doffe Gallery and most recently, of course, at Listen. And he's been honored everywhere and shown everywhere, but I was very pleased to see when I was doing a little bit of research that he was actually given an honorary doctorate at the London Institute, now the University of the Arts, in 1998. So that's nice to know. Well, if I run through a few of titles, I think those of you who don't know his work that well will get a hint. Time, in 1987, Clock for a Thousand Years. 1990, Death of Time. 1993, Running Time. 1996, Big Time, which was actually shown at the Hayward Gallery here. And 1998, Sea of Time. So I think time, space, and of course life are just a few of the things that preoccupy Tatsuo. Actually, he did one piece, which I hope some of you saw, which was A Marriage Made in Heaven. It was a piece called Luna that was shown at the Greenwich House, within sight of the Meridian, which was just about the most perfect place for Tatsuo to show here. So it's nice to say that we have actually had an opportunity to see his work in this country, and now we have an even greater opportunity to actually hear about it from himself. So thank you again, Tatsuo, Marcus, and everyone for being here. Thank you.
So, what did I do?
Tatsuo is going to start by showing some images and talking us through them.
Okay. Thank you for coming. My name is Tatsuo Miyajima. First of all, I'm showing a little bit my work to the slideshow. So this is a counter gadget I called. I make it 1987. Which is a basic material on my work. This is the original design by myself. If you, in Japan, cannot buy in Akihabara, this one. This is the original. So this system is very simple, counting up 1 to 9 as a number. Or counting down 9 to 1, but not showing 0. So it's repeat again, 9 to 1, 2 to 9 to 1, something like that. Counting speed can be adjust slow or fast. So this point, this is a pointer. No. Anyway, so this is adjuster. And this is also another type of the counter gadget. I have a different kind of LED counter gadget. The counter gadget symbolizes of shining of human life. The counter gadget counting down from 9 to 1 or counting up 1 to 9. Onto the complete darkness without the indicated 0 and returning to 9 to repeat itself. I said before. The transformation and the shine of the number symbolize life of man. And the darkness of 0 symbolizes death. So in Buddhism philosophy, the life of man is interpreted as a repetition of life and death. In other words, death is not the end, but is similar to sleep as a preparation of the next birth. Furthermore, there is a lifetime of birth to death, from death to next birth, is innate to every individual life with individuality. And it also says that each process a different rhythm. Sometimes the blue color and sometimes the red color. I'm using any color. So this is one of the work. It's 1989, called the counter line. This is a linear, which is a basic image of time. However, my time line always moving. Sometimes it distant and close together, because number zero is disappear. It's making a blank. So it's distance and what coming together. Also the next one, it's so this is a counter circle, 1989. Also this circular distance and coming together also. I showing the some video because of my work is always moving. Very technology.
Oh my God. Sorry.
Another technology.
So sorry.
No, it's okay. No problem. This is a three concept. So my explanation a little bit after that. So this is a counter gadget. So making a blank at the zero. It's a very big work in the Tokyo Metropolitan Contemporary Museum, one of the piece. Keep changing, connect with everything, continue forever. It's 1998. This is the running time, 1993. Why moving? It's something a toy car have each LED gadget. This piece showing at 1997 at the Hayward Gallery. So this is Naoshima's piece, Sea of Time. It's a very typical Japanese house. Very old house, renovated. So, and I put on the something, water pool inside. And the counter gadget within, in the water. This is very big work. It's called counter void. This wall is a part of the TV building, TV company. Yes. And the next. So this is Megadeth. It's 1999 at the Venice Biennale, Japanese Pavilion. I use 2,600 LEDs on this work. Only blue color. So on this work, I critics about the 20th century. It's 20th century is a very lots of war and. So many people killed up. So such a thing, such a history, I critics of that. This is a counter voice in wine. 2000. This is a performance video. Three performers, it's a normal people, counting down 9 to 1 by own languages. The center of the man is a Spanish. And right hand in the lady is a French. And the left hand is English. At the zero, making big breaths into the wine. And continue this perform about 15 minutes. It's so long. This is a floating time. It's a computer graphics. And this is a changing time with changing self. The mirror reflects the audience life. And I showing the work time, like artist time. It's coming together on my work. So your life and my life, something like that. And this is a time garden, at the bamboo garden. If you have a question, so please say that.
Shall we go through to the end and then I'll start?
So this is a desk clock. This is a very normal clock, but I calculated your remain life. You know the I mean. So the clock is a counting down by second until your death. Yes, but so this timing. It's the audience decided. And they put in the name and the date and take a picture by the computer and start it and calculate and counting down. So this is a desk clock. So this is a counter knowledge. So this is something like commission work for the collectors' library. This is a very bad picture. and this is called the Hoto 2008. Very big work, 6 meter high. On Buddhism old story, very big tower appear from the earth. Like this, but this is something a market, you know. And it is very high, in which called half size of the planet, half size, very big. And it has lots of kind of jewelry outside. It's something very shiny and beautiful. And the people are very surprised to look at this. And people ask them, the Shakyamuni Buddha said that. So this tower, treasure tower, symbol of your life. So something. This is the story. This is a counter skin. It's a body paint for the normal people. The people choosing the number, and I painted on her body directly. And I take a picture of the site. But the site is very important for this work. So you can see something, an iron net surrounding. So this is a 38 line of the South Korea and the North Korea borderline. It's a very dangerous area still. And also this one, counter scheme. Is a borderline of that. This is a 2008 counter call. Wait. Thank you. Counter call. So it's a little bit dark, but you can see this is a coal mountain. And some of the counter everywhere, like this. Because this museum is Recklinghausen in the Deutschland. It's the area of the coal mine. Lots of coal mine. And so it works very much, used to be. And also, this is a 2008 time train to Auschwitz, also showing the Recklinghausen. Recklinghausen, the coal mine area, has lots of railroad way everywhere to the Europe, cover to the Europe, because bring to the coal to the others. And at the Second War, this railway used to bring the people to the Holocaust. That's a story. I critics that's a story. And this one is a toy train bring to the blue LED. It's symbolized of the life of the Judea. Because the Judea, the star is a blue color. And so it's a real toy car, toy train, moving around to the museum, in the museum. Wildflower. This is outside piece. It's a very, very good place of the Aix-en-Provence. It's a very beautiful country, and this is one of the winery. The collector has a winery, and it's put on the artwork everywhere. It's for the Carl André and Frank Gehry. And so some of the piece there. So this is a pile up life. It's very recently. It showing the recent gallery. This work, Requiem of Dead People by the Natural Disasters. Earthquake or a tsunami or some hurricane, something. And this is a collaboration with Winnie McGregor at the Royal Opera House just last November. Okay, so something like that. It's a very introduction of my work.
Great. That's what later we'll show Khaki Tree Project and so on.
Yeah,
won't
of
we?
Course.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. I want to start by talking about time, and I think we'll come back to the question of time over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask about time and counters, because obviously, you know, you're using a machine, and machines have completely transformed our experience of time, haven't they? I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, about you know, what it means to use a machine. I associate...
Not hurry.
Okay. Slow down.
Slowly down. My English is very poor.
Okay. I'll take it easy. I was thinking earlier today about LED counters and where I see them. And I usually see LED counters on my alarm clock or in places of travel, stations, airports. I know that they're used in stock markets. And these are, so LED counters, I associate them with technologies that have increased the pace of modern life, technologies that help us live faster. And so it seems that what you're doing is very interesting because you're inserting them into works that are doing very, very different things. I was wondering if you could talk about that, about how you change the meaning of the counter.
Yeah. I think you can see the everywhere is a counter at the stock market or something. That's a number and the counting. It's the meaning. It's only purpose to the calculation or real time, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. But my counting, it's just rhythm, you know? So it's like showing the people's life rhythms.
Yeah.
So that's why it's totally different, you know?
Yeah.
No aim in the my counter.
Yeah.
No aim, no focus.
Yeah. It's a very, very different, actually.
I hope so.
There's something extraordinary about the idea of taking this, the number, which is, you know, important in, as you say, in measuring, double entry bookkeeping, and obviously measuring time. And this is, we use numbers for this. But you're saying that time for you is not, you're trying to move away from linear notions of time, or the idea that time must always lead to a certain point.
Yeah, so actually in 1995, I have a performance and showing some of the piece in the Greenwich. Greenwich is a very famous for the meridian line. So the meridian line is a very certain to make just a point of the zero line in the space and time, you know. So it's a very center of that, the center and the others, you know. So this is a, I called, it's very difficult. I called modernism. So which is, it's something measuring everywhere to the making a center of it, you know.
Yeah.
But this center, why decide? It's like something very strong economy that the UK had. That's the point of it.
Yeah.
So I think such kind of making sure to the modernism, to the zero line, and very static to the cut it on the earth, also the cut it to the time. So it's very artificial, I think. So the real life and the real time is very, very fragile and very moving every time. For instance, if you have a very lovely wife with child, such a beautiful time, it's a very fast to
yes.
The time,
yeah.
It's a very fast.
Yeah.
But if you very don't like the people together, the conversation, it's feel so long. I'm sorry now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like that, you know. So the time is difference from people's mind.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, yes, yes.
Time is not always static.
Yeah. So the Greenwich Meridian for you stood for this idea that time is understood in linear terms, and that linear understanding of time is of course crucial for economic development, and which requires the standardization of notions of time. Everyone has to be working to the same time. Tasks have to be harmonized, have to be synchronized. Whereas if I understand rightly, you see time as much more elastic. What about a work like Counter Circle? Are you interested in circulant? Well, you mentioned that Buddhists hold to a circular understanding of time. Could you talk a little bit about that? And I also wanted to ask, does counting have a particular significance in Buddhist thought? Or do specific numbers have a particular significance in Buddhist thought?
The form of the circle is normally people think about Buddhism concept, but I don't think so. So it's like the part of it, because circulation is also the static. The linear is a European images of time, and the circulation is an Asian Buddhism concept, the time concept. But it's very stereotype of it. I think the linear, also the circular, it's doesn't matter over the time. The image of time, it's doesn't work for the real life. So Minkowski, it's a time philosopher, say that also the French philosopher,
Bergson,
yes, also the Bergson, yeah, say that the time, the people think about the time, but doesn't work to think about time. It's the works on in the life.
So in a way, it's actually very, very difficult to understand time in the abstract, divorced from every person's experience of time.
Yeah.
And we all presumably experience time in different ways.
Yes, because nobody to the same.
Yes.
So your time, it's on yours.
Yeah.
My time is my life, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a totally different, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. That actually reminds me of something I wanted to ask, which is, do you find that people react to your work in very different ways in different places? I know you've shown all around the world, and a lot of historians have thought about time and have said, well, you know, in different cultures, time is understood in different ways. It's been argued that the West has exported its understanding of time. I'd be really curious to hear whether you've been surprised by the way people have reacted to your work in different places.
Yeah, so I say that the last 10 years, I say that the very main concept of the art in you. So art in you mean the people has art on service. And so everybody like an artist. So it's an expression. It's very different. So, and very interesting for me.
Yeah.
So the reaction, it's everybody is different. Yeah. Very interesting.
That, if we're...
I'm showing you a little bit some video. It's very interesting. Are you okay?
Yeah.
To show in the video?
Since we're in the darkness, that's something else I wanted to ask you about, the importance of darkness, because everyone always says that you work primarily with counters, but it seems that the other thing you work with, or one of the other things you work with, is darkness. And I was wondering if you could talk about that. I often think, looking, for instance, at a work like Floating Time, where in which the viewer is in a darkened room, and all these numbers are projected on the floor, on the walls, and they're moving. And the darkness is absolutely fundamental. And one of the things it made me think of was Tokyo and the importance of neons. How when you walk around in Tokyo, you see neon lights everywhere. It also made me think of the experience of being in a movie theater. So at some point, perhaps, we could talk about darkness.
Yeah. Leave it. Counter voice.
Set, tool, hana.
He's a Korean artist.
Aho, yodel, ilgo, yasa, taso, ne, set, tul, hana.
It's very tough.
Aho, yodel, ilgo, yoso,
performance.
Taso.
During that 15 years.
Set.
Very hard.
Tool.
Hana. Hard.
It's the nothing breath, you know. So this is a normal people, you know. This is the one.
9, 8, 7.
Like this, you know. So I never control over this performance. Yeah. It's just on the performer, normal people comes up and push up expression and action, and they think about it, you know. Yeah. So it's totally different to realize the performance, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know.
You've been collaborating more and more, haven't you?
Yeah.
But perhaps we could talk briefly about other works in which, as in Counter Voice, you've encouraged collaborators to determine the speed at which the counters count.
Yes.
Like Denver Project or Sea of Time on Naoshima Island. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about what it's like to collaborate with different communities.
Yeah.
who you want to collaborate with, how you choose the people you collaborate with?
Almost election. Election.
Well, people volunteer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's a very beginning of the collaboration with the normal people as an artwork. So it's very secret story behind, because Naoshima at the moment is a very beginning of the collaboration with the Noma people. Naoshima is a very very old town, you know, old city. The history behind and the people very conservative, so cannot see any contemporary art. So I'm first artist to making something there, okay? So you can imagine. My piece, like my daughter, so to the marriage to the Naoshima.
You mean you made the piece just around the time your daughter was born?
No. I mean, for me, artwork, like my daughter.
Yes.
I'm Papa.
Yeah.
And married to the Naoshima is a different culture, different people, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to the lovely wife to them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think about it. So, but very contemporary artwork. So people very conservative, don't like that. Huh. My papa is very sad. Okay? Pride. Yeah. If the people that collaborate with artwork together, so people love her. Yeah. Huh. I think that.
Yeah.
That's why I collaborate with the normal people. The making together.
Yeah.
And my daughter is your daughter.
Yeah. Something like that. But you remain Papa.
Yeah.
So I'm interested when you collaborate.
Like the people is a mama.
Yeah. Okay. And you've collaborated with different kinds of groups, haven't you? You've collaborated with children, you've collaborated with elderly men and women. For Time Garden, didn't you collaborate with elderly local residents?
Yes.
So why did you, was that your decision?
Yeah, so sometimes the old guy and sometimes children, everybody had own art. So that's why it's the case by case. I choosing this generation or the other generation or something.
So why an older generation? Just to remind you, we saw Time Garden, which consisted of counters in a bamboo, in a sort of small bamboo forest. It's actually in the patio of a very large building. So why elderly men and women for that piece?
Yeah, it's this is a story of a Japanese old story, Kaguya Hime. Yeah, the Kaguya Hime, it's something, the princess born from a bamboo. And old lady and old guy, and cut it, the bamboo, to the bone from that, yeah. And the family make the nurse and growing up is a beautiful lady. And one day, there's some servant from the moon to come to the family. And this is a princess to the bring to moon. So, and come back, you know. So something, this story.
Okay.
And why I choosing this story? It's this area, the Time Garden is Osaka area, outside of the Osaka. This area is a very new area. It's building lots of apartments, very growing up, and so many young generation stay there. But it's something that gap to the older generation, and so new generation, newcomer, new family. It's something gap. I want to connect each other. That's why it's I invite old area, old lady and old guy. I invite, and I bring to the some volunteer from a new city, the new age, young generation, in the coupling each other, and making together to the artwork. That's a story.
Okay.
The Time Garden. So like that.
Thank you. Yeah. Interesting. I want to move the focus slightly because I wanted to talk a little bit about works like Megadeth.
Megadeth, yes.
And talk about your reflections on the Second World War and the Shoah, the Holocaust in works like Counter Coal and Counter and Train, Time Train to Auschwitz and so on. But also, obviously, the Megadeth. I think that in making Megadeth, you were thinking also about the bombing in 1945 of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm. Yes.
So I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about, and this is also about addressing different generations, isn't it? And bringing presenting younger generations with atrocities that older generations lived through. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Actually, I born in the 1957. It's after Second War. I completely know that. I completely don't know that. But I was a student. It's a high school student visiting to the Hiroshima, and I was very shocked. You know, I can't believe that. You know, so such a very sad history, and I can't believe that a human being can do such a horrible things. You know, so that's. It's a very big collapse in my heart. And also I was a student, the art school student, visiting here in Europe, and visiting to the Holocaust, Auschwitz. And also, I'm very shocked about that. So it's, that's why I want to something to make a new world and revive these images to give next generation.
How do numbers work in a piece like Megadeth, which consists of numbers? They work in a slightly different way, don't they? Because when we think of, for instance, the Holocaust, we may remember that prisoners in concentration camps had numbers tattooed on their bodies. Obviously, someone looking at Counter Skin is bound to think of that. We also possibly think of numbers of victims. Quarrels between governments about the exact numbers of victims. For recently, between the Armenians and the Turks, arguing about how many people died during the Armenian genocide. So I was just wondering whether you could talk a little bit about how the numbers
function?
The important thing is talking about this kind of the peace or this Holocaust and some atomic bomb. It's everybody say that, say no. You know, it's very stereotype. So war is very bad. So you don't touch with that, something like that, you know. So parents and adult people, so education everywhere, it's the same word. But young generation is hating it, you know. So every time it's every expression, same word. Say no, no, no. So it's very tired. So I want to put in the new image of that, and very new expression for it,
yeah.
And transform about this kind of. But the meaning is the same, of course. Meaning important. And the history is the same and important. But expression, it's the surface, it changes. It's something brightly or something cool or something like that. So, and the young generation can be touched with easily.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why it's using the number, and that's why I using looks like a beautiful the installation or something, but the main theme and meaning, it's deeply hidden, and explanation is the after. Something like that.
Okay.
You understand?
Good. I think so. That,
sorry.
But let me. I want to make absolutely sure that there's enough time for questions. But I also want to make sure that people see the two projects we spoke about in our email correspondence, Khaki Tree,
yes, yes.
And Peace Shadow.
Yep.
And these are very much projects that are about remembering the atrocities of the Second World War.
Yeah.
And they're also projects that are very much about reaching out to a younger generation.
Yes. So first of all, it's the Khaki Tree project. This is a Khaki Tree project. Khaki Tree project is an art program which aims to happen revive time in each person's mind through Khaki Tree. Khaki Tree is a persimmon in Japanese, but sometimes you can find out French and Italian. It's something orange. Fruits, and which was a second generation of khaki. So this is atomic bomb damage in the khaki tree. So this is.
So it's the one tree that survived.
Several trees okay. Survive. Yes, and this is a khaki tree, ne? And. Because this is the damage of it.
I think we call it sharp fruit. Khaki.
Khaki, yes.
Sharp.
Okay. So this is something like that. And Dr. Ebi Numa, he is a tree doctor. And he's a nurse of this khaki tree. And I know the his activity, and I want to collaborate with him. This is a second generation of kaki tree. This one. And bring to the elementary school and planting kaki tree with an art event. So, and like this. So art event is important to the remembering to the kaki tree planting. So the children's memory had a good memory in the, on it. Yeah, this is the fruits. Yeah. This is the Switzerland. And this is the Bordeaux. This is a Hokkaido school in USA. This is a Casago in Italy. This is a Belgium. This is England. This is a botanical garden in Glasgow. Yes, one of the kaki tree there. So this is something event like this. Like this. This is Avignon, France.
Did you take all these pictures? Were you in all of these places?
Yes. So this is Holland? Yes. It's interesting. So this idea from the normal people, so no control the, this art event. Yeah. It's something art in you, yeah. Okay.
So it's a very different kind of collaboration, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, very, very, very bright and very
enjoy, you know. So, yes.
And you're going to show Peace Shadow.
Yeah, Peace Shadow, yeah.
And also, I starting the Peace Shadow Project. Peace Shadow Project is
against nuclear weapon and significant to the peace. And English.
Do you know the story behind this shadow? 1945. A flash of a nuclear bomb burned a human being alive and erased him from this world, leaving only his shadow, nothing else. And this shadow, whose owner is long gone, still speaks to us today. Can you hear its voice? Peace Shadow, an art project that allows you to burn your shadow as your signature to wish for a world without nuclear weapons.
This is a concept. And also that this is an actual time, so from India, so participant to the internet. Like this. If you're interested in this project, you can touch with this address, www.peaceshadow.net. So you can make a peace shadow.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask a question about this.
Yes.
If you click on statement here on the website, there's a text which I believe you wrote in which you mention going to Hiroshima as a child and your horror. And you talk about this project as expressing, and I'm quoting now, everyone's hope in the form of shadows. Mm-hmm. But what we see here is also people disappearing, no?
Yes, like this.
And that we're bound to draw a parallel between the sort of fading of these images and the shadow on that house in Hiroshima, the shadow of the person who was burnt who disappear. So is are you or are the people who participate in this project also, well, expressing hope but possibly also despair? Because these people are seeing their images are also disappearing.
I don't know exactly. I'm sorry.
That's right. I was just wondering how you see this. What happens to all of these images when we see a photo of someone, and then we see that person disappear? Mm. Is that disappearance for you? Is that an expression of their hope for a better world? Or is it possibly also an expression of grimness or sadness or remembrance, remembering what happened in Hiroshima?
I don't know, so because each one has a different image of it. I don't know. But so I just the design of this site, it's like a very shock. So give it to the shock.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very hard attack at the moment. And so I want to people think about the image of the weapons.
Oh.
Yeah. So such a very sad, very bad things, you know. So I give to the just the feeling of it.
This is a really mesmerizing work and website. You can, there are many, many, many people. You can watch this at great length, and it's completely hypnotic. At this point, I realize that Tatsuo-san and I have been up here talking for more than an hour, and Tatsuo, if it's all right with you, perhaps we can now open the discussion up.
Yeah, okay.
Because I imagine, yes, I see several people raising their hands.
Can I just say that I'll now open the blinds. So as soon as I open the blinds, sunlight will come in, and with it warmth. This room has a slight, very peculiar problem, which is that when the blinds are down, the air conditioning works extra hard to keep it very, very cold. And so while the blinds go up, we probably won't be able to ask any questions. So I'll just do that now. And then once the blinds are up, if you have a question, please indicate and we'll bring a microphone to you.
We have a whiteboard. Whiteboard, no? Do you have a whiteboard?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. No.
No whiteboard.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Do you want to draw? Or I have a flip chart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good.
Use this. You do. Ideally. I don't know whether they would like it.
Tatsuo,
yes.
I would like you to, if possible, extend a little bit on. It seems to me like the zero for you is something really, really more important than the numbers themselves. It's like the disappearance, the zero, the space that creates. Or there is another relation I was going to do with. Anyway, but the darkness that you mentioned, that the darkness that the zero kind of creates, I'd like, if possible, to extend or explain a little bit more how important is the disappearance that it creates something else of the disappearance, if I'm making sense.
This is a good question. Because the zero is a discover is a 6th century in India. And so go through the Arabic and come in the Europe. And the zero meaning of the just emptiness or void. And also the from India to Japan, we call it ku. And originally, original word is a senior, is a Sanskrit word, is a zero. Zero has two different kind of the meaning inside, the originally. It's an emptiness, of course. And also the expanded, and something like growing. So something, it's very opposite, you know, nothingness and expand, you know. So it's a both meaning inside, one word. And so that's a point. And ku is also the both meaning, nothingness or expanded inside. It's something that energy field. And so Buddhism teacher is Daisaku Ikeda say that it's zero is something important issue, and so something like life and death coming from the ku, like books pages, surface and back, and this is just a rest of the day, life, something like sleep. So you are at the night, it's asleep, and wake up, come again. So something like that. It's that death and life is like that. So both death and life from ku. So this is a concept of the zero and the ku. Okay.
I do have two short questions. Why Buddhism is the first one? And the second one is, if you, well, I imagine that each digital numbers or the LED represents life itself, and therefore it reincarnate like a Buddhism, you know, as you said. But I'm curious, why don't you apply or adapt the concept of Nehan, or like enlightenment, which is quite fundamental concept, together with reincarnation. Mm-hmm. So if you could ask, if I can ask you to answer these two questions, please.
Okay. First of all, why Buddhism? Because I'm very eager to find out what's the originality of my work. And I study in the art school. My art school is a Tokyo University of Fine Arts and Music. This is a very academic to learn about the expressionism art. I'm an oil painting study. And every day I painted like Monet or Cezanne or something like that. But it's a technique is very well. But I learn about European and American artists, great artists. They have a not so good technique, but a very strong concept behind. And I want to that. And I learn about a little bit European technique, but I'm very eager to find out my originality, where it is. And study more and more, and finally I find it. So it's my very suitable to the Buddhism concept for my life. That's why I choosing Buddhism concept. And What's the second question?
The second one is why don't you use the Buddhist concept of enlightenment? You know, you can escape from karma. Therefore, you know, in this case, in your work, you know, you don't need to, or the digital numbers don't necessarily need to count up or count down.
I see. Okay. I don't think important issue is karma and reincarnation. It's a very main concept of the Buddhism. But this is also the part of it. And I think destiny, it can be changed. And the basic concept of Buddhism say that the karma is not static. So this is a very important issue. That's why it's a changing time every day. Every time it's changing. And my three concept is one of the three concept is changing all the time. Very important issue. That's why. Okay. Yes.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask you about your use of color. I know you said in the Auschwitz train you used blue because it was the color of the Star of David, but I was interested in the symbolism of colors in your other work, and also if you ever feel limited because of the colors you can use with LED lights.
Yeah. I like any color, anyway. And sometimes I choosing very carefully to the color fitable for the concept and theme. And as you know, I say that the Auschwitz, the train, time train, that the work choosing the blue color as a star of the Judea. So like that. So sometimes I using a red color and the green color, the both together, because this is the opposite color. Opposite meaning it's something opposite people, opposite the face, opposite to foreigner or something. So that's meaning. That's why it's choosing a color.
That's all. Wasn't there, I think when you started, blue LEDs didn't exist, did they? Is that right? That at a certain point in your practice, it became technologically possible.
Yeah. So blue color is a very brand new technology. It's born from in Japan, 1995. It can be used, you know. Before that, it's something a laboratory to the something testing, you know. And I find it something a newspaper, you know. So the blue color void, something like that. Oh, so and check all the time, you know. I want to use the blue color because it used to be it's only using red and green color. So it's a limited of the color, you know. But the blue color, void, okay, I using the first, very fast, you know. And I ask every day to the makers. And the maker say that, no, this is just testing now. So it's not insurance, you know. Yeah. But I using 95, yeah.
Just to take up what Marcus was asking earlier about the darkness being as important as the numbers or the absence of a zero, it occurred to me with the more recent collaborations that you've been doing, it's like you've come out of the dark and into the light. And is this something you were aware of, or is it not the case? Is it a different way of working and being as an artist?
I don't know exactly you say me. So, what do you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering, when Marcus was talking about how it's partly the nature of your work that you use LEDs, mm-hmm. and they, like the lunar piece, mm. it began to be visible, of course, as the sun goes down.
Oh, yeah.
So naturally you need the darkness, but mm. perhaps also it's part of the work, mm. the darkness.
Mm.
But that in the last 10 years, mm. you've been working collaboratively, mm. often outside,
mm.
as if you, as an artist, have come from the dark into the light.
Mm. Ah, I understand. I like both of them. But I had an experience to the very dark room and installed it in the exhibition. And some children coming and crying, very dark, crying, you know. So I'm very afraid of that. So this is the artwork, but you know, so the. For the children, it's very fear about that. So I did a bit worry about that and a little bit change to a little bit light for children. Yeah, that's a true story. Yeah. But I like both of them, yeah.
Yes, there's a question over there.
The LED is sort of like a technology of the present. And in some of your works, you juxtapose it with contexts which evoke like a tradition of past in Japan, like in Sea of Time and Time Garden. And you were saying how that reconciles like the young and the old, but does it also mean for you a kind of a sense of changing time in Japan?
Changing time.
I think that's a wonderful question. And actually, I was wondering about the way landscapes insinuate, as the young lady who asked the question.
Landscape.
It implies, I think landscape insinuates itself into your work. You know, the sea, mountains, as in Counter Coal, the garden. These are the works you have in mind, aren't they? Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, great question. I'm curious too.
Yeah, I like a way to create the conversation with the space and the site and the history. It's something that I like to collaborate with that. So I don't like the creative something, but on myself, you know. So something I think about. The space like this, the water surrounding the water, I using the water, and something a history behind, I using a history in my work, something like that. It's every time it's a conversation, you know.
Where do you stand within that conversation yourself?
The conversation is very important, and I think our originality something like that. So for instance, we're using N. N is a relationship, yeah? So something, for instance, nature. Nature is, you have a pen, yeah, okay. For example. So this is a pyramid, and the sunshine, and the sand, you know? So I was talking about the nature with American people. American people say that this photograph, say that this is artificial. This is nature. This is nature. This is artificial. Also, some great temple in Kyoto. So it's like very old steps. And this is a temple. And something, leaf, the change of color, very beautiful red, you know. So something. And possibly standing beautiful lady in the kimono. Okay, so this photograph, he said that this is nature. This is nature. This is artificial. This is artificial. This is sometimes nature. Like that, you know. But my feel, this is kind of the nature. Because this stone steps, it's a crap out from wind and the sand and the water sometimes, and the steps every time. It's something change, you know, like this. And this temple also influenced from wind and rain. It's changed the color a lot. It's very old color. So it's like a collaborate with the nature and the artificial. So totally images of, this is the nature, my feel. That's why it's, I like collaborate with not only artificial from the artist. So it's like collaborate with the nature and my artificial. So something like that. This is a conversation, I mean. You understand?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
If no one has a question, I have one more question.
You have a lot of questions. I have a lot of paper.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy. If someone else wants to jump, yes, please.
Yeah. Do you sell judo in practice, like, every day?
Yep.
Thank you.
That was great.
Maybe just going on from your elaborate drawings before, the question I was thinking of was about this, in the West, is a kind of duality, a disjunction between the use of the natural materials, so the coal and the water and the trees, and then inserting the technology into it, and you inserting these technological devices, these LED counters, into these natural materials, which to my Western mind seems like an opposition almost, but in your drawings you've just done of the how you view nature, does this mean that you don't see a distinction between the silicon chips and the LED lights, mm-hmm. and the coal and the material.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are all.
Yeah, exactly. All. Yeah, yeah. So all the three. So I think only the artificial is it is myself. This is artificial. and the other world, you know. It's everything, nature, something. So it's, yeah. You're right.
Can I ask something?
You're right.
I was really struck by when you said, when you went to Meridian of Greenwich, that you mentioned about the zero point and the others. What do you mean about that? Because I was reading something that about the possibility because my work is about religion, Bhagavan, and then what about this? Because make me see devil as a possibility where things really happens as like your zero, where zero things can happen. When there is a number, is already in place something. Is anything that you think about?
Difficult.
Mushokashi.
Yes. I just say that the system, okay, zero, so, four, two, this, you understand? So this is a basic system of a counter gadget concept. Zero, it's ku. This is the Sine, the original word, zero, okay? And this is the meaning of the death, the blackout. And one, two, three, it's a light. It means life, death and life. It's circulation, it's repeat again. So, but this time, this is total life. It's like real life. Not only life, not only death. It's both together. It's total life. You understand? Okay.
Okay. I think at this point, we've gone over an hour and a half. I think we're going to draw this to a close. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.